This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Senate local government will now come to order. If you're planning on testifying this morning, please sign in and have your badge on if you're a lobbyist. And if you have cell phones, please be sure and put them on mute. Otherwise, you get to you qualify to make a $20 donation to Teen Challenge. All right. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Senator Knapp.
Here.
Hewing.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Wismer. Excused. Youngberg. Excused. Duhamel.
Here.
Jensen.
Here. We have a quorum. Okay. I believe we have some pages here. Would you kindly come up to the mic and just tell us who you are, where you're from, and this will be your last day. Is that correct? Oh, my. Okay.
Hi, I'm Lainey Asby, and I go to school at Hymer Herald High School.
Thank you.
My name is Brooklyn Swenson, and I go to Woonsocket High School.
Very good. Thank you for serving us today and this last 2 weeks. Okay, I believe we have some minutes from the last meeting that need approved.
Second.
I have a motion by Senator Bob Ewing to approve the minutes from the last meeting, second by Senator Duhamel. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Okay, we have... three bills before us this morning. Senate Bill 79 will be deferred till next Wednesday at the request of the sponsor. And we will start with Senate Bill 135, an act to increase the bid limit for certain public improvements. Do we have any proponents? Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of Senate local government. I'm Deb Soholt, Senator from District 14. Happy to bring to you Senate Bill 135, which has really come out of the Municipal League effort in looking at bid limits within communities. As construction costs have increased over the years, the bid limit has not been adjusted accordingly, and this bill simply increases the bid limit for public improvements from $50,000 to $100,000. There's not a complicated explanation in the need for this adjustment. You just simply can't do anything in public improvement for $50,000. As several cities have told the Municipal League, you can't even build an outhouse in a park for $50,000. That's your Friday humor. And this bill would allow small projects to be done more quickly and efficiently, as our municipalities would be able to go to the person available and with the time and capacity to perform the work. A rewrite of the bid laws in 2010 makes it difficult to simply explain the history of this bid limit, but for new buildings, remodeling, and additions to existing buildings, the bid limit was changed to $50,000 in 2003, which was 17 years ago. So it's probably time to think about increasing the bid limit. We did look at surrounding states, and of those, only Wyoming is lower. The highest is North Dakota at $200,000. So I will turn it over to further proponent testimony and stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 135? Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senator Solholt, Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Senator Solholt did a great job of explaining the bill. There isn't a whole lot more depth for that. The one thing I can add, the definition of a public improvement is the process of building, altering, repairing, improving, or demolishing any public infrastructure facility, including any structure, building, or other improvements of any kind to real property, the cost of which is payable from taxes or other funds under the control of the purchasing agency. And so it's the big stuff. You're frankly not going to build much of it for $100,000. But this at least lets us, for little things, go with the local guy who probably has capacity, and we know he's there, and we know he's got the stuff to do it, or she. The other little example I can give you, I was just talking to Sam Nelson, and he is the city attorney for a small town in eastern South Dakota, and was talking about the process of doing a chip seal and an overlay on one of their city streets. The bids might come in. You have to treat that as one project for the bid limit purposes, even though it's divided into really two processes, which I don't understand either one of them, but I believe him. the two processes aren't done by the same person in his area, so you got to find two contractors who can do the two different processes. They need to be done within 2 weeks of each other, and if you're doing a $50,000 project, even if it's $30,000 for one guy to do one thing and $20,000 for the other person to do the other thing, you've hit that bid limit and you got to go bid that out. Something like this would let those small projects just be done by the people they know who can do them, who work together, and can get them done in the time in which they need to be done. So that's just an example of the need for this bill, and we would certainly appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Senate Bill 135. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Thiessen. On behalf of the Associated School Boards of South Dakota, we want to support Senate Bill 135. You know, the cost of construction rose almost 3% just last year. That's true across the nation, and we haven't made changes here for quite some time. It's a little like that game you used to play with your kids about this bone's connected to that bone and the next bone's connected to the next bone. It's a little like that. We encourage our kids to go to school here in South Dakota. One of my sons did, and, you know, go into construction fields. So in some ways, if we want to keep them here, we see an increase in the cost of construction, because that's the only way they can keep those young people here is to pay wages. So all these things are connected, and when we improve one thing, we create issues in another. And I think this is one of those areas where we have created issues, not intentionally, but the cost of doing business has increased significantly. And I think that school districts and municipalities across the state are in need of being able to have a little higher before we do the bid limit. So, thank you. Hope you support the bill.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 135? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Eric Erickson, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners. We also rise in support of this as another effort of just allowing the efficient actions of government. One of the questions that had popped up on this is why we don't just have an inflationary index on there. And as we looked at it, it would be, the view has been that that would be an unlawful delegation of legislative authority, is why we kind of come back every so many years to look at this. But just another good government process that allows for efficient use going forward. So thank you, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 135? Seeing none. Are there any opponents? Senate Bill 135. Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions or discussion or action. Senator Kamak.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
We have a motion to do pass on Senate Bill 135 by Senator Kamak, second by Senator Youngberg. Any discussion on your motion?
I believe that it just brings some common sense efficiencies to local governments, gives them some opportunities.
Very good. Senator Shanefish.
I'm just going to actually just urge a little caution with this bill. You know, people know I do a lot of governmental auditing, and, you know, this is and it's doubling the amount that you can go without having to bid out. And, you know, and some of the bigger entities, you know, it's $100,000 might not be considered very much money, but in some of the smaller towns, $100,000 is a pretty big portion, you know, of a city's budget. And I just have a few concerns about raising the bid limit this much, so I'm going to be opposing the do pass motion.
Thank you. Any further comments? Okay. Senator Wismer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too have some concerns, particularly in, well, it doesn't matter what size communities. $100,000 would keep a small shop going for a substantial portion of their work year, and especially in these days of it's so difficult to find people to run for city offices, city councils, and our circles get pretty insular. And jobs are done based on who knows who. And this would just contribute to that overall atmosphere. So I fully understand how frustrating all of governmental rules and regulations are, but I just I have some concerns about this as well.
Duly noted. Thank you. Any further discussion from the members of the committee? Okay. The motion before the committee is do pass on Senate Bill 135. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
No.
Rismer.
No.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Duhamel.
Aye.
Jensen.
No. Okay, Senate Bill 135, having received a majority vote of the committee, is hereby passed. Next up before the committee is Senate Bill 137, to revise provisions for repair, replacement, and construction of sidewalks within a municipality. Any proponents for Senate Bill 137? Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Kyle Shane Fish, Senator for District 19. I'm glad to be back on the same side as the cities on this one. And 137 does is it brings in some language for sidewalks. It clarifies the ability for a municipality to construct sidewalk, clarifies a different language. It'll bring a resolution requiring a sidewalk to be built, which brings another notice and includes the ability for it to be referred to a vote. Cleans up other existing language. It brings sidewalks in line with the nuisance properties, and I'll let the other proponents discuss more on the issue, but I can say as someone who does a lot of running, you know, I've been doing some running up here in session and uses sidewalks a lot. I mean, I know the importance of keeping them safe and well maintained, and I encourage your favorable consideration of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 137? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Trying to get to the right place on my computer. I normally have paper, but I printed all this out at my house this morning and then forgot it. If it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, I could take you through the sections of the bill and kind of explain what each one does. It is a complicated-looking bill, but as Senator Shane Fish explained, what we are really trying to do is clarify that maintenance and repair issues, so anything from shoveling the snow to replace that square because it's tripping people, those can be handled as nuisance actions, just like we do a multitude of other things. I also would explain on that part that I don't know what would stop a city right now from declaring those things to be nuisances, because we have pretty broad ability to declare what constitutes a nuisance and to abate the same. So that's one piece of it, is separating things out into nuisance actions. But the big stuff, we want to have more process, more hearings, put it through that if you're going to build new sidewalks in an area or require the building of new sidewalks in an area, that's got to go through some pretty strict procedures. And then it also cleans up, I don't know who was here in 2012, but we had a 50-some page bill that rewrote our special assessment laws, which are in 943. And that we did to clarify them, clean them up, make them make sense. We left sidewalks out intentionally because they seem to be their own critter. They are often 946 for some reason. They just have always been treated differently, and I think part of it is that maintenance and repair piece. And so we also have now cleaned up discrepancies that were left from that rewrite. And so there were things that didn't work well together between 943 and 946, and this bill is also cleaning those up. So I can very briefly take you through the sections. Section 1 just clarifies that we have the ability to construct sidewalks. That is just well-maintained law. I know there's court law out there on that, case law out there on that, and so we're not doing anything new. We're just clarifying. Section 2 is also just clarifying language. Section 3 adds the passage of a resolution that is requiring a sidewalk to be built. So now we're into construction. That's an additional notice, and it includes the ability to refer the resolution to a vote. Section 4 cleans up existing language on sidewalk repair. Section 5 adds language that's consistent with 943. That's the special assessment chapter for everything else. That requires a resolution of necessity if a sidewalk is going to be required. We put the same language in there that's in 943 because, as you'll see later, if we kick over, we use that resolution of necessity to go through the 943 procedures. That's a referable resolution. It adds a notice of hearing that is published in the paper, and then it further adds a notice of hearing that is mailed to each landowner along with that notice of hearing. Section 8 repeals language that is being replaced in this bill. Section 9 removes replacement and repair from this section because that's now going to be dealt with as nuisances. Section 10 says that if the governing body decides to go through the full assessment process under 943, then this section requires that to be done as all other special assessments under 943, but it uses the resolution of necessity that we've already done to then kick off at that point under the 943 procedures. And so that's why we made that language the same as 943. Section 11 repeals obsolete and replaced section. Section 12 clarifies the definition of a lot. Section 13 protects planning and zoning. Section 14 adds obstructing sidewalks to the list of things that might be considered a nuisance. And Section 15 adds unrepaired sidewalks to nuisance procedures. And with that, I would be happy to stand by for any questions, and we urge your favorable consideration of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 137? Any further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents? Senate Bill 137. Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move straight to committee questions and or action. Senator Kamak.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Kamak, second by Senator Youngberg. Any comments on your motion? Okay. Would the Secretary go ahead and please call the roll?
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Hewing.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Rismer.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Duhamel.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye. Okay. Senate Bill 137, having received a majority of the committee's vote, is hereby passed. Next up is Senator Kamak. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we could do that. Let's go ahead and just put that on the consent calendar. Thank you. Very good. Okay, next up is Senate Joint Resolution 501, proposing and submitting to the voters an amendment to the Constitution of the State of South Dakota, providing for a wagering on sporting events and to revise provisions regarding certain municipal proceedings of gaming revenues. Any proponents? Oh, there he is. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm Bob Ewing, District 31 Senator. This is my Deadwood bill. And it does one thing and one thing only, and that's pretty well explained in the title. It's proposing and submitting to the voters an amendment to the Constitution. So this is to add sports wagering to the list of things that are already allowed in the city of Deadwood, which is relay, keno, craps, limited card games, and slot machines. And this would add wagering on sporting events to that list. With that said, it, as I said, your vote yes on this bill will, and if passed, will allow this to be put on the ballot for everyone in the state to have an opportunity to vote on and have their say. Last year when I ran this bill, I gave you all the facts and figures, and most of you were here and got to hear that last year. So the proceeds from these events go into the historic restoration and preservation in Deadwood. And that group shares these funds with all different kinds of projects throughout the state. It doesn't just stay in Deadwood. For instance, we had a They were rebuilding the grandstands in Butte County at the Nislin Fairgrounds here a few years ago, and the Historic Preservation was kind enough to give them some funds to do that. So these funds do get used statewide. I guess I'll leave it to that, and there's other people that will speak on behalf of it. I would like to add one thing. Should this pass on the ballot, the legislature will have another crack at it next session to promulgate rules. And one of the, I believe Deadwood would like to see the mainframe be in Deadwood to accommodate this and possibly have an app on the phone that anyone statewide could get on there and utilize this this sports wagering through their phone. They wouldn't physically have to be sitting in Deadwood to do it. So that's the thought process that we've been told is that, and maybe some kiosks or something in some of our larger towns. My last thing that I will add, I was going to sit down, but I'm going to add one more thing. This is going on in our state right now, and it's illegal. So I think that's another good reason to make it legal. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any further proponents of SJR 501? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghusen, I'm an attorney from Rapid City. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Deadwood Gaming Association. I'd like to thank Senator Ewing for bringing this joint resolution again this year. I'm just going to give you a little bit of history about sports wagering nationally and how it's come to pass that you're getting to consider a resolution like this 2 years in a row. 1992, the federal government passed a law that, in effect, outlawed sports wagering all across the United States, with the exception of basically three jurisdictions, Nevada, Oregon, and Montana. And that remained in effect then until 2018, when the state of New Jersey challenged that law in federal court, and ultimately the Supreme Court ruled that Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, as it was known, or the PASPA, was unconstitutional. Since that time, a number of states all across the country have started to take steps to implement and authorize sports wagering in their states. Some states don't require an amendment to their constitution to do this, so their legislatures are in the process or have already approved gaming, sports wagering in their states. States like South Dakota, though, have a constitutional prohibition to gambling. And so this requires an amendment to our existing constitutional provision at Article 3, Section 25. This particular bill, as Senator Ewing has said, does one thing and only one thing. It presents to the voters of South Dakota an opportunity to tell you as the legislature whether or not they would like to have the opportunity to place wagers on their favorite sports, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, what have you. That's the only thing that this bill will do. It won't implement it. That will be up to the legislature to do. You as the legislature will decide if the voters of South Dakota approve this amendment, how it will be implemented, where it will be implemented, and under what circumstances. It's really important, I think, to also emphasize that some of the things that this bill will not do, as I've said, if it's approved, it will not automatically begin. We will not be able to begin sports wagering in South Dakota just because the voters would approve this. Secondly, one of the criticisms I heard to this bill over in the House last year was that, wow, if we pass this, we'll have betting on high school sports. Nothing could be further from the truth. You as the legislature will decide whether or not betting on high school sports would be allowed, and I certainly hope that you will say that you can't do that. Some states have even gone so far as to say that you can't bet on college sports if the sport involves a college or a university that's from that state, regardless of whether they're playing the game in that state. So those are all things that the legislature will have to consider and resolve if the voters of South Dakota approve this amendment in the first place. You know, there's been some talk that, well, some people would like to have sports wagering available statewide. Some people want it restricted to just Deadwood. This bill doesn't answer that question. That will be, again, for the legislature to decide. If the voters say to you, we want to be able to wager on sports, the legislature will decide whether it has to be confined to just Deadwood or whether it will be available to people statewide. Deadwood doesn't have a preference in that regard. Honestly, I think maybe we do. We would probably like to see it statewide because it would generate more play. But that's up to the legislature, and we respect that. So for those reasons, we believe that it's important that the legislature recognize what this bill does, simply give the voters of South Dakota a chance, an opportunity to tell you as the legislature whether they would like to have the opportunity to wager on sports. If they say no, that's the end of the discussion. If they say yes, then the next discussion begins with the legislature as to how it should be implemented. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to stand by for questions, but with that, I'll stand down. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents of SJR 501? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Lauren Pankratz, the registered lobbyist for the Deadwood Lead Economic Development Corporation. And I'd like to just touch very briefly on a couple of positive notes about gaming and new gaming opportunities for South Dakota with respect to tourism and the visitor industry. In 2018, we had 14 million visitors that traveled to and within South Dakota. Visitor spending increased by 2.5% to just shy of $4 billion. Tourism activity generated $298 million in state and local tax revenue. Now, some of those figures include Deadwood, the Northern Hills. There are 54,723 jobs related to the tourism industry. So that essentially means that about one of every 11 workers is supported by tourism. South Dakota is facing pressure and competition from neighboring states. Montana, Colorado, and Iowa either have sports wagering or are in the process of implementing it, and Nebraska is looking at legislation to do just that right now in their session. Some of you have heard about Grand Falls Casino just outside of Sioux Falls in Larchwood, Iowa. And based on their own statements, they get most of their clientele customers from the Sioux Falls area. And so I think what that means is that people in South Dakota are looking for gaming or additional gaming opportunities. And when they go there, we are losing that opportunity for those things to occur in our own state. Grand Falls is looking to add an additional 60 hotel rooms. So that's lodging, meals, entertainment dollars that we'll lose as people leave our state to look for those opportunities that they want. Tourism is the second largest industry in South Dakota. Gaming is a part of that tourism industry, and both, I think, are here to stay. And as Mr. Tellinghusen said, the voters have made a number of choices over the years about gaming and what it should be in South Dakota, and that's as it should be. And so let them decide. And with that said, I'll close my testimony and be available for questions and urge your support of SJR 501. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further proponents? SJR 501. Any other proponents? Any opponents to SJR 501? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Matt Krogman, representing the South Dakota Licensed Beverage Dealers and Gaming Association. Our members are owners of restaurants, video lottery establishments throughout the state. It, first of all, we 100% are not opposed to legalizing sports wagering in South Dakota. We are 100% in favor of that. We're not opposed to Deadwood offering sports wagering in South Dakota. We want Deadwood to offer sports wagering in South Dakota. We feel like there's one time, we have one chance to put this in front of the voters, and we feel like when we do that, we need to do it right. And we believe that what should go in front of the voters is an option to offer this statewide, not just in Deadwood. We know that if the voters were to pass what they have, what's in front of you, and it was to go to the voters, and they pass it, that it will come back to the legislature to basically set the rules. Our concern is this. If what goes in front of the voters only authorizes it in Deadwood, and we come back to the legislature and try to put in a system that takes it statewide, we're going to get a lot of feedback from the legislators that this isn't what the voters voted on. They voted on authorizing it in Deadwood, not statewide. So we have some concerns that if we don't have it in a form when it goes to the voters that offers it for statewide, that there'll be very little chance that the legislature will put it in statewide. The idea we would have is a centralized system through Deadwood. So all bets basically would go through Deadwood, but there would be kiosks that our clients could have in their establishments where their customers could place a wager that would go through that centralized system. As the proponents mentioned, we have neighboring states offering this that my clients are competing with already. If Deadwood gets authorized this, the tribal casinos get that same privileges, and so they'll be my clients will be competing with them. We just want the same opportunity. You heard from the proponents, the casino located 10 miles from Sioux Falls and the amount of people from South Dakota that go to game there. We want an opportunity for South Dakotans to be able to do this in our state rather than having to go to neighboring states. Again, we're not opposed to sports wagering. We're not opposed to Deadwood offering sports wagering. We think we have one opportunity to go to the voters, and we'd like to we feel we need to do it right when we do. So, unfortunately, I'm asking you to oppose this as it's written. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents to SJR 501? Seeing none, we'll move to rebuttal. Anybody wish to rebut? Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Tellinghusen again on behalf of the Deadwood Gaming Association. First, I want to thank Matt Krogman, who just spoke, to being as candid as he was about not opposing the idea of the voters getting to vote on the issue of whether they want to have the opportunity to sports wager. I also understand the opposition's desire, if you will, to have it settled right up front as to whether sports wagering would be allowed to occur statewide. Please understand that Deadwood is not coming here today asking you to approve a resolution to go on the ballot asking the voters to approve sports wagering in Deadwood only. That is not our aim. That's not our goal. We believe it should be left to the legislature to determine, after careful and thoughtful and learned examination and discussion and debate, how it should be implemented if it's approved in the first place. And that's really, the dynamic or the difference between our position as the proponent and that of the opposition and the licensed beverage dealers. They want a certainty in the ballot. Deadwood's willing to let the voters tell you as the legislature whether they want it, and if they say they do, to let the legislature go through the deliberative process of deciding how it should be implemented, under what circumstances, how, when, and where, if you will. And so for those reasons, we would ask that you just leave the resolution as it is, let the voters have an opportunity to vote, and if they come back and tell you that, yes, they would like to have that opportunity, then you can go through that process and there'll be a lot of discussion. There'll be a lot of ideas, but you'll have an opportunity to do it in a way that the voters will understand, I believe, that you will have an opportunity to do it in a way that protects their best interest. So for those reasons, we would ask, please, to just pass Senate Joint Resolution 501 in its present form. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we'll entertain any questions from the committee. Senator Youngberg.
I have a question for Mr. Krogman. Thank you for being with us today. Hey, I have a question about, you made mention on doing something statewide with kiosks, and, you know, I think those days are going away, as we all know. When, you know, they talked about in the bill that this would support a cell phone, like a mobile app, and I think that's in order for this to work for the whole state and create any kind of revenue, we're going to have to include that. So, and my question is, if we have cell phones that are going to be used, I mean, you're not going to see me on a Sunday afternoon going to the gas station to punch my bed in on a kiosk if I can do it from a phone. I didn't know if you could just touch on trying to explain the kiosk. I don't know much about that side of it. So,
you bet. Mr. Chair, thanks for the question. Our idea, quite frankly, wouldn't include a mobile app, wouldn't allow people to be able to sit in their living room on their phone and be able to place a bet. Our idea would be, and also to clarify, we aren't picturing these kiosks in a gas station on the corner. Our idea would be to limit them to establishments that have an on-sale liquor license. So you're talking about a restaurant, you're talking about sports bars, you're not talking about gas stations, you're not talking about any other facilities like that. That isn't what our image is. Our image would be, in an ideal plan for my client, would be that it's offered in Deadwood, which then allows it to be offered in the Native American casinos, and then through that system, there could be kiosks at on-sale liquor license establishments, not throughout the area, but at on-sale establishments where they could also place a wager. So you're not sitting on your couch, on your phone, being able to place a wager. We don't think we want to open it up that far.
Any further questions of the committee? Sir Shane Fish.
Probably for Mr. Tellehisen. Is there do you have any like numbers on like Iowa or any of the surrounding states, like how much revenue they've generated or how many bets have been made or anything?
Thank you for the question. The one figure I have from Iowa, because it's so new over in Iowa, was their year-end figure. I think in December they were calculating that there would be a little over $59 million that was wagered in sporting events, sports wagering. I don't have a figure for you, Senator, as to how much of that then generated taxes for the state of Iowa or where that money went. I'm sorry.
Follow up?
And how long have they had legalized sports betting there about?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it's my understanding, I think it's only been going on there for about 3 months, or it should be about 4 months now.
Thank you. Any further questions of the committee? Okay, at this time we entertain any further discussion or action. Senator Youngberg?
I recommend do pass.
Okay. We have So this will be a motion to adopt SJR 501. Okay. So we have a motion to adopt SJR 501 by Senator Youngberg, second by Senator Duhamel. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
No.
Ewing.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Rismer.
No.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Duhamel.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye. Okay, SJR 501, having received a majority vote of the committee, is hereby passed. Any further business of the committee this morning?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn by Senator Duhamel, second by Senator Youngberg. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.